It has been a really long time since we talked about a book on this show, as we've been focusing almost exclusively on the coronavirus pandemic. But there's a new book out by author and historian Stephen Pulio that caught our eye during this crisis. It's titled Voyage of Mercy, and it tells the remarkable story of the USS Jamestown, which was a Boston-based ship that left our city in the 1840s loaded with food to help Ireland during the Great Famine, which seems important in the modern time we're in now. Pulio tells the story of how our city led the way in humanitarian aid and mapped a blueprint for America to lead on global aid later. Author Stephen Pulio joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Tishana. Thank you for having me.
So we've been talking on this show about how people show up for each other in times of crisis as we live through this global pandemic. That's what this story is about, isn't it?
I think it most certainly is. I mean, as you point out, the Jamestown is the first ship to go to Ireland laden down with food donated by ordinary Americans of all stripes. And it really leads this effort. It's the first step in this effort that America engages in over the next 15 months, in which they donate about 10,000 tons of food to Ireland over 15 months with about 150 ships crossing the Atlantic with food. Americans take the suffering in Ireland very personally and donate food that they were growing essentially at that point for their family, and to keep their family alive and to feed their families or to take to market and buy goods for their families. Instead, in many cases, they donated this food to Ireland.
So take us back. Just how bad was the situation in Ireland in the 1840s?
So the Irish famine, the Great Famine of 1847, the Great Hunger, as it's sometimes called, was devastating to Ireland. It really starts in the summer of 1846 when the Irish potato crop is destroyed by fungus, by blight, and famine sets in very quickly. Keep in mind, at this point, about 30% of the Irish people depended exclusively on the potato. And so when it does fail, when the crop fails, famine sets in quickly by the fall and into December of 1846. By 1847, it's devastating and people are starving. The famine ultimately would kill about 1.2 million Irishmen in a population of about 8 million. And another 1.3 million or so would flee, would emigrate. So the Irish population at the end of the famine, if you will, and some people put that at 1851, was really devastated and cut by somewhere between 25 and 30%.
Go ahead. No.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
So briefly explain to people, one of the things I found fascinating from the book, and I think is really important, is the distinction between calling it the Great Famine and calling it the Great Hunger.
Yeah, so the British at that time, and I think this is the gist of your question, the British at that time, Ireland was part of the Great Britain Empire. And at that time, Britain demanded that Ireland export food. So most of the land that was worked in Ireland was worked by poor tenant farmers on land owned by British landowners. And so London, if you will, demanded a certain amount of export from Ireland to world markets that the British exported to in order to keep prices where they were, in order to keep the British economy going. And so really one of the more devastating images of the famine, and I think one of the sources of the great bitterness between the Irish and the English for the next 150 years were scenes of Irish people who were walking the countryside, starving, evicted, freezing cold, while carts of food under British guard were being transported towards ports to be exported by the British. And so you'll often hear from Irish scholars and scholars of the famine saying it was the great hunger, not really a famine. We had food, we were just forced to export it.
So there was a real factor of public policy in that mix.
I think public policy, particularly in the non-potato related crops, right? So the potato crop does fail, and that is a catastrophic event for the Irish, in which so much of the population depends on the potato. But Ireland did grow other kinds of crops as well, meal and that and grains and those kinds of things. And a lot of that was exported.
So I want to go back. You talked about people taking the food, people in the United States, in Boston, taking the food they were growing for themselves and sharing it. The 1840s, as I understand it, was not an overwhelmingly prosperous time for the United States. We were a relatively young country and a relatively young economy. That really does sit kind of in stark relief in one's head to the image of people hoarding toilet paper or buying hand sanitizer and reselling it at $50 a bottle. This was a time when Americans really showed up for the needs of other people.
Yeah, I think they did. And I think at this point in time, the mid-40s here in the United States, there's this real feeling in America, because we're expanding, people are moving westward. You know, it's a couple of years before the gold rush. 1846 was really called the year of decision, as lots of people made their way from east to west. And there's a real feeling in the country that we have a great deal of abundance. We have a lot of arable land. We have navigable rivers, and that we have an obligation to share it with people less fortunate. There's a very strong religious element here, and I mean all religions. So, of course, you might think it likely that the Catholics would be involved helping Ireland, but Jews, Quakers, Methodists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, Unitarians, really all set aside what at that point were their fears of Irish popery in the Roman Catholic Church, at least temporarily, in the name of this humanitarianism, which is really a phenomenal moment in history.
And Congress moved heaven and earth to get this done as well. I mean, that warship was kind of an unprecedented move, wasn't it?
Yes, totally unprecedented. And they did move very, very fast. There's a meeting in Boston in February of 1847, in which the proposal is made to Congress to take a couple of warships, the Jamestown being first, strip it of its guns, retrofit it, and allow it to be turned over to a civilian captain, Robert Bennett Forbes, who would, you know, transport this food to Ireland. And Congress approves this by the end of February. By March 17th, by St. Patrick's Day, Irish laborers at the Charlestown Navy Yard are volunteering their time to load food that's come in already. And the Jamestown set sail on March 28th. So you're right, they move at lightning speed to make that happen.
So we did a little background research, and the U.S. government in 2019 provided almost $40 billion in foreign assistance, which is less than 1% of the federal budget. But on the other hand, Charity Navigator says total charitable giving by Americans in 2017 was $410 billion. Is that a shift in thinking from what we saw there because it's more private citizens donating, or is that the legacy of what we saw from there? Because while the government is doing a small amount percentage-wise, Americans are giving a lot.
No, I think you're exactly right. It's the legacy for sure. So you're right. The latest numbers I had was very close, $424 billion to charity given by private donations from Americans and overseas donations. So the federal government's around $50 billion in the humanitarian side. So that's taxpayer dollars. But then the American people donate another $70 billion from their own pockets, from a charitable contributions. Corporations, religious groups, all of that, foundations. And so, no, I think it's the legacy of the Jamestown, where the government had a part in terms of influencing and urging communities across the United States in 1847 to set up committees to help Ireland and to provide relief. But in large part, the vast majority of the relief is provided by individuals. So I think it's the legacy. I think you got it right.
And what do you think the lessons are for right now? I can't imagine that you haven't been thinking about this all the time with this book coming out now and the moment that we're in. How are you thinking about the lessons from this piece of history for who we are today as Bostonians and as a broader, human people?
Sure. And, one of the things you mentioned, the hoarding of toilet paper and all that, not so great initially. But really what I've seen is a continuance of American generosity. So I see a lot here of people donating to food pantries, people ordering from their local restaurants takeout, because so many of these local restaurateurs are in danger of losing their businesses. People delivering food to ERs and first responders. You know, food is an important part of the effort now as it was then. And, you know, other things are happening well as well. People, you know, my wife is sewing masks at requests of nurses and first responders. And I know lots of people are doing things like that. So I sort of view what's happening now as a continuance or a legacy of the Jamestown mission. I see a lot of people helping others, and I'm really heartened by that part of it.
I am too. Historian Stephen Pulio's latest book is Voyage of Mercy, the USS Jamestown, the Irish Famine, and the remarkable story of America's first humanitarian mission. Stephen Pulio, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Tishan.